Reading from the Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, text 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Excuse me. Bhagavad Bhakti Shastanam Ayam Sarasya Sangha Anubhutasya Chaitanya Devi Tatriya Rupata. This book collects the essence of the scriptures teaching devotional service rendered to the Supreme Lord. These essential teachings I have personally realized under the shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I received them from his dear devotee, Sri Rupa. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salataya Tatsurun Nurtam Yena Unmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Pradamayam Udati Sapadantikam Adidanasya Nandante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimadhu Bhapadam Boja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yudvakti Sankriyatnai Ayama Maradiksa Nandam Kutam Buriya Paradhuka Duki Sanatanastam Padamatriyami Pancha Kaupa Karu Jastya Vipa Sindhu Bhayedacha Patitaram Padanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Ramo Ramo. So greetings from Sri Govardhan Dham, the highest place in the universe. This is somehow extending its mercy to me, and it is mercy. Mercy means kindness that is undeserved. So I'm trying to adjust the format. We kind of went through the prayers for, I guess, a couple of weeks, and we're only able to cover one or two prayers a day, and I'm not sure. This is a very sensitive medium where the people can't see me, and I feel perhaps I have to increase the dynamicism of the class. So what I'm going to try to do is cover a section. And especially after, this will be, today we'll cover the introductory story, and then the story, the introductory story of how the Brihad Bhagavatamrita was spoken. And then the next class, hopefully, we can start covering the various devotees. Narada Muni is searching for that person who has the topmost, you know, the most mercy of Krishna. And the person with the most mercy of Krishna is the person who has given his heart most intimately to Krishna. That's what is Krishna's mercy. It's his kindness and heart in giving himself. The devotee with the topmost mercy of Krishna has the fullest realization of Krishna, which means that Krishna has opened their heart to the devotee. The topmost devotee is one who has given himself the most. And as you know, we know even Prabhupada described about the dhams, there's the this perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Even in this, there's many, many levels of devotees. And I particularly picked this book because it's so intriguing. You know, when you get into, you know, because it'll discuss, you know, an earthly Brahmin who's a pure devotee, then a king, and it goes to the demigods, and it goes all the way up to Hanuman Prahlad. So you actually get an understanding of all the flavors of bhakti up to the gopis. And that's the first part of the book. So I feel that the proper format will be this. So here is this first verse here in this section. This book collects the essence of the scriptures. So now Sanatana Goswami, after the introduction, he has praised Krishna, he's praised his best devotees, he's praised his personal road, and he's praised devotional servant itself. For what reason? To create the conduit for mercy. We're here in Vrindavan, and I'm so fortunate to associate with people who are serious practitioners, and this is the real... What's that? Okay. Go ahead. Someone's at the door, so I'm just gonna hold off for a second and see if anybody's coming, because my audience just left to answer the door. But, it'll just take a second, and I'll just, I did go into Vrindavan yesterday, and, there was a devotee from New York who came to Vrindavan for the first time in 20 years. Some of you know him. Who's that? It's just a wind, huh? His name is Krishna Mike. Yeah, he took Krishna Mike to Radha Damodar and probably about in different places. So this is what I'm getting as the Bhajan Rahasya, the secret of Bhajan. You know, the people, they create these conduits of mercy by humbling themselves and praising. Praising is to put someone in a superior position. Things in relationship to Krishna. I discussed this last year. Just the consciousness of bhakti. I am inferior. And watch the mercy flow. So Sanatana Goswami has done this for his task of describing the last extreme limit of transcendence. It can only come down to the living entity. And therefore you have to put yourself in that humble position. So he's done that. And now he's going to begin. And he talks about this book, and it talks about this book, Bhagavad Bhakti Shastranam, Ayam Sarasa. It's very interesting. It's the essence of all the Shastras, the Bhakti Shastras. It's the essence of Shastra. And the essence of Shastra is the ultimate reality, which is the exchange of between Krishna with energy. The ultimate reality is that absolute, the ultimate truth is the absolute reality, Sri Krishna, opening his heart in reciprocation to love. And that's the essence of all the Shastra. And now he wants to give this. And Sangaha, he's collected this essence. It's described here, it says, in Sriyad-Bhagavatamrita, it's authoritative. First of all, the first thing is authoritative. It's from Shastra. It's from the authority that describes the absolute reality. And it distills from the Vedic literature to the essential teaching that describe the pure science of rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it sometimes quotes directly, sometimes interweaves selected phrases, sometimes paraphrases to express scripture. And Anu Bhutasya, it's by someone who has personally realized this. He's not just had some theoretical understanding. He's actually experienced it. And experienced in such a way that he's able to describe. We always express that point about realization that's so important. Realization, or really not just understanding, but seeing truth, enables you to change the form of that truth to accommodate the frame of reference of your audience without losing the essence of that truth. This real self. And you become excited when you meet a person like that. And you become very excited because that means that you can get that truth. Because this person can change its form to accommodate your frame of reference. And therefore you have a chance of understanding that highest truth, realizing it yourself. So he says, I personally realized that how Chaitanya Deva, the God of the heart. Chaitanya means the life force. He's coming to his heart. He conducted this outward and inward search. This is what he's done. He searched for the scriptures. He read verses. He went inside. He tried to realize it. How? Chaitanya Deva. Under the compassionate guidance of Chaitanya Deva means the Lord of consciousness, the super soul. Just imagine Sanatana Goswami and Vrindavan. You know, some people, you know, think that the six Goswamis were just meditating on Asta Kalila Smaran all day, you know, the eightfold daily pastimes of Krishna. They were working. Where did he get all these books? How were they transported into Vrindavan? Roads had to be cleared. They were building temples. But within that, he's going through all these scriptures. So nice. What does it mean? And it has to come from the super soul. It has to come from an inner prayer and desire to reveal this meaning to them. And Chaitanya Deva also means what? Also from the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Devi tat priya rupata. And he received it what? From Chaitanya Deva, priya rupa, who has the most beautiful rupa or form. And priya rupata also means from his dear devotee, Rupa Goswami, which is interesting because Rupa Goswami was the disciple of Sanatana Goswami. But he still glorified Rupa Goswami. He would be called Sri. He is still glorifying him as his disciple. Because we discussed this before, this is Sanatana Goswami, the emblem of humility. He's trying to respect every manifestation of Krishna. And because he respects every manifestation of Krishna, Krishna manifests through him in many, many ways, even his own disciple. I always remember, you know, Dadu, the mailman in Vrindavan, I told this story, he was lamenting that all the, we used to, I'm all Krishna Maharaj, myself, Satsarupa Maharaj, Bhujapa, Giri, so we were all here in Vrindavan together for months and months, and the classes in the temple, and we were all chanting, and so deep, he missed them. This is an old mailman in Vrindavan, old man in his 80s, he missed them. He complains to me sometimes, now the classes don't have that level of senior. I said, why do you go? He said, 45 years ago, when I took initiation from my guru, he said, wherever there's Krishna Katha, you go sit in here, because you can never tell where Krishna may manifest you. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. What to speak of Rupa Goswami. So today we're going to cover verses. So please, Chinvatu Vaishnava Shastram Idam Bhagavatamritam Sagopyam Prahayat Prema Jamanir Janamejam. May the Vaishnava is kindly hear this confidential scripture. Sri Bhagavatamrita. Jaimini Rishi spoke it to King Janamejaya in the enthusiasm of pure love. Hear this Vaishnava Shastra. This Shastra. is Bhagavatamritam, the essence, the sugopyam, the most confidential. The more confidential something is, the more apt it's the more likely it'll be misunderstood publicly. Because confidential means is something which you know and you have the frame of reference because it's in relationship to you and your life, and others may not understand it because they don't have access to what's going on. Think of something that you know that's confidential. Can you, if you give it to the world, how will they understand it? You understand it because you have that inner experience. And who else understands it? Those who are very close to you, who you've revealed your heart to. It's the same thing with Shastra. There's a confidential aspect of Shastra. And it's not so widely understood. If you reveal the absolute truth reveals his love life, how many people could actually understand that confidential message? So therefore, what does he say? He say, may the Vaishnavas kind, it's for the Vaishnavas. This is not for everyone. It's for the Vaishnavas, because ordinary people will disbelieve this. And because they don't have faith, they won't be able to assimilate to get it, to get the understanding and realization how it's true. So he says, may the Vaishnavas kindly hear this. And not just any Vaishnavas he's referring to, but he's referring to those Vaishnavas who worship the Lord in the form of Sri Nanda Kishores, Sri Gopinath, those Vaishnavas. So this is mercy, and we should take this as mercy. But Sanatana Goswami outwardly searched for so many books, inwardly tried to realize them, and had to piece them together to give the essence of the Shastra in a most systematic way so people can enter into it. And now he's saying, may the Vaishnavas, he's referring to us, kindly hear this scripture, the Bhagavatamrita. And then he gives the history. Jaimini Rishi spoke it to King Janamejaya. So Jaimini Rishi, there's four Vedas. The Vedas are divided into four. Samaveda indicates the hymns. There's different Rig Veda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda, Yajurveda. And Samaveda is the most devotional of the Vedas. And Krishna even says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedainam Samavedasmi, among the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. So Jaimini is the first teacher of this best of the four Vedas. And this means that Vyasadeva recognized him as an expert knower of this Veda, which centers on devotional service. So he's giving us, who are we going to hear from? Jaimini Rishi spoke this to who? Janamejaya, king. Who? Maharaj Cricket's son. He's a great devotee. It's a very confidential subject between two devotees. He spoke it to Janamejaya, and wonderful. So it says, Munindraj Jamane Sutva Bharatakyanam Abhutanam Pariksyam Nandano Purchat Tatkilam Shravanot Sukha. After Janamejaya, the son of King Pariksit, heard the wonderful Mahabharata recited by the great sage Jaimini, Janamejaya was still eager to hear more, so he inquired about the supplement. So it's explained here that this Janamejaya, is that in our version of the Mahabharata? It was also spoken to him. So he explains that in the Mahabharata, the version that we read in modern times, there's a narrator, and his name is Vaishampayana. And that Vaishampayana, even in the Mahabharata of our version, he says, There are other authentic versions of this history spoken besides this. Prabhupada even discusses that, you know, the Vedas, you know, in some planets are billions of verses, because it's one truth. It's a description of reality. What are the Vedas? The world expands the world, and with that expansion of the world, he gives the knowledge how to utilize the world for the purpose of the world, which is to actually get rid of the false ego. So that knowledge, according to the frame of reference of the audience, can vary. It's the same knowledge, it's just like you have a Bhagavatam class, and many speakers may speak about the same verse. They're giving the message of the verse, they're explaining the verse, but according to the audience, they may expand it more and more, and give more and more depth to that. So, it was spoken first to Janamejaya once, and then he mentioned this. This is the other version. It was spoken another time, which is being revealed by Sanatana Goswami. And so Janamejaya heard it first, the modern version we heard, and then he heard this other of this. And he was eager to hear more, and he inquired about the supplement to that topic. Because of the Mahabharata that we have, the Kila, or the supplement of it, is the Harivamsa, which is a little bit more devotionally geared. So, this Mahabharata that Janamejaya heard, now that he's hearing from Janami Rishi, it's a deeper presentation where Krishna is presented more intimately, more deeply, more prominently. And he becomes eager to hear, and he wants to hear the supplement. Even take that and extract the essence and explain it to me. And this is, he's Shravana Utsuka. He's eager to hear. And that is the basic qualification for spiritual life. That is your bhakti, Jiva Goswami says. What is your level of devotion? Your eagerness to hear. There's no difference. And when you're eager to hear, that means that you have a faith. And what is the faith? The faith is in bhakti. What is bhakti? To trust in something sublime. Prabhupada defines faith. To trust in something sublime. So what is our faith? That this bhakti is the most sublime thing which will lead to the greatest goal. And therefore, you're eager to hear about it. And when you have that eagerness to hear about it, you not only will hear about it, but you'll hear about it with attention and relish and depth and faith, and you'll realize it. And when someone who's speaking sees that eagerness, he becomes eager. What was Prabhupada's qualification? We know Prabhupada is the great acharya of the Krishna consciousness movement. That when they were on Parikram in Vrindavan, Prabhupada went with his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they were in Koshi. That's near, you know, when you enter Nandagram from the main road, Nandamarja's treasury place. And near there is a famous deity called Seshayi Vishnu. So there was a lecture by Bhakti Siddhanta, and then they announced it's time for the Parikram. Everyone went on the Parikram except 2-3 people. One was Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada got initiated, what did his guru say? Oh, I remember him. I marked him because he likes to hear. Advancement in spiritual life, in the bhakti path, the tracks for the train of our spiritual advancement to move forward is sadhu sangha. And sadhu sangha means to hear. Those who are more advanced, those who are like-minded, and those who have some affection for us, which opens the heart. That's sadhu sangha. Based on hearing, So we're seeing advanced devotee. Sri Janamejaya Uvacha. Let's see what Janamejaya says. Na nabai shapaya na prapto vamanyo bharate visa tatvo labha supachesham. Sri Janamejaya said, O Brahmana, by hearing the Mahabharata from Vaishyapayana, I've never obtained the same relish I have now obtained by hearing from you. Please complete this recitation with perfect speed. Again, we prefer the second version. Because for the same reason that Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavata, he was chastised that he didn't glorify Krishna sufficiently. Because the audience was not ready to accommodate the personality of Godhead in terms of their ego. And I was asked, I gave class yesterday in the Sanskrit school here, and they asked the question, why isn't Krishna mentioned directly in the Vedas? And I gave the same answer, the same reason here, that I gave many reasons, but one of the reasons is that if you present it too directly, what's the benefit of presenting a truth if people's frame of reference will relativize it as mythological or mundane? What's the benefit? There's a certain qualification. And what to speak of the false ego, which has a very hard time accommodating a personality of Godhead. You see, an impersonal conception or the conception that I am God, that doesn't threaten the false ego. But the conception that there, you know, that God is a person and we're in competition with him and there's no competition, that's very hard to accommodate for the false ego, what that actually means. And he says, complete this recitation with perfect sweetness. So, in the purport, it says very, very nice thing. It says, Madhurena Samayapaye. One should end on a sweet note. It's like when you have a feast, you end with the sweets. We said, you know, you gave this presentation of the, and it's so wonderful. Yeah, I mean, they have the samosas, the pakoras, it's so tasty. But please end with something sweet. It's actually, one should end on a sweet note. But what is the sweet note? The ecstatic taste known only between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotees and their different reciprocations. He's basically saying, now end with the lesson. Because that's the goal of all other knowledge. Is Piyojan is the goal, is what? The goal is the experience of reality. And what's the experience of reality? I mentioned it many times. It's our relationship with reality. And what's our relationship with reality? Well, the attraction between two beings who have a relationship is love. That's what, two beings. So there's an absolute being, and we're part of that absolute being, and we have a relationship with it. And when we actually realize the truth, we will feel the truth. We will feel rasa. So that's the goal. He said, so therefore, okay, you explained all the truth. Now give the rasa. Ended very, very sweetly. So what he's presenting here is this is what the Brihat Bhagavatamrita is. It's the essence of all the shastras. He went through all the shastras to pick out the essence of our bhakti. And he's presenting it. Why? Because even this second version of the Mahabharata, which is much more intimate and deep than the first version, this is the kila or the commentary of it, which even extracts the essence of it. So you get this vision. If you see in India, they get the sugarcane juice. That's sweet. And then they start cooking it. And then it becomes molasses. Right? And then they cook it further and further. And then it becomes gore, jaggery. It condenses more and more and more. This is what the Bhagavad Bhagavad Talmud is. So he explains, and so Jaimini Rishi responds to him now. So he's like eager. And he says, by hearing the instructions of Sukadeva Goswami, Sriman Parikshit was releasable here. So now he's going to actually explain what is this what is the commentary on this second version of the Mahabharata that's the essence or sweet. So now he's going to explain what it is. And it begins, and he explains, your father was relieved of all fear by hearing the instructions of Sukadeva Goswami. In other words, it begins, he heard the Bhagavatam, and he was relieved of all fear. Because what is fear? Fear is duality. Fear is the illusion that there's something separate from God. Fear is an illusion. Reality is God and our relationship with Him. And what is fear? When we see something separate than that, it's just a dream. And if we're attached to it, it's temporary. And it causes us fear. Fear of death. So he was relieved of all that because he entered into eternality. He realized the nature of the soul. I had that experience years ago through a drop. Externally, my life was hell. The world was moving so rapidly in ways that were uncomfortable to me and my ego and my situation. And I took chant with holy name, and I was chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting. And then I had this slight realization that this activity of chanting Krishna's name is the activity of the soul. And that activity and the identity I have in doing that activity does not end with death. So the more you're actually engaged in devotional service, the activity of the soul, the more you'll become free from duality and fear. Because what you're doing and the identity you have in doing it does not end with the body. So all of his ambitions became satisfied. He was absorbed in pure love for Sri Krishna. And now, as the time came near for the king to ascend to the destination he desired, his mother, Yuvati's daughter, that's Uttara, a surrendered devotee, approached him in great distress while he was alone. So he's completely free of everything. He's heard the Bhagavatam. His mother approaches him. And after Krishna consoled and pleased her by his greeting, she asked him as follows, immersed in love for the son. Before I finish the next couple of verses, I'm going to stop for questions. Are there any questions now? By anyone?
Well, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah,
it's funny to ask just now because I was just in the midst of trying to formulate the question properly, but it has to do with your statement about the fact that your definition of fear as being the concept of thinking that there is something separate from Krishna, and this is called duality. And
yeah.
When you brought in the word duality, you know, I feel like I just lost the...
You lost me.
Yeah.
Duality means, I see I need to ask questions. I'm trying to figure out a way how to present this step. But duality means two.
Yeah.
Reality is one. Again, it's consciousness of which nothing is outside of. That's God.
Mm-hmm.
So duality means something else besides that. There is nothing else besides that. So as soon as you see something separate from God, you're an illusion. and it's temporary. And therefore, if you become attached to it, you experience fear. So he was completely now, he's heard the Bhagavatam, he's on that platform. You know, one time Prabhupada was in Delhi, and it was during the Indo-Pakistan War. And, you know, at night, everybody had to close their windows so there were no lights so they wouldn't be bombed, you know. It was really a heavy war. And somehow during the day, they asked Prabhupada, well, what would you do if, you know, a bomb came? And Prabhupada said, I would see Krishna. Hare Krishna, I would see Krishna. That's beyond duality. There's no fear. What is the fear? There's Krishna in the you, and it eternally exists. What's the fear? It's only if you see something separate from God that there's fear. So he was at that platform. He was at that platform. And therefore he was ready to just fix his mind on Krishna, and then his mother comes. Yeah.
And so, therefore, because we see that everything is Krishna, and we have a loving relationship with Krishna, then everything, we experience every detail of that. I mean, what you're saying is that we therefore experience every detail of our life as Krishna's love for us, isn't it?
It's hard, but yes, of course. Every detail of life is Krishna's love for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sharanagata or faith means.
Mm-hmm.
One of the symptoms of faith is that Krishna... Faith means ultimately that Krishna is the shelter. And I always explain shelter is where your needs are met. And therefore, one of the symptoms is that Krishna will protect you. And what does that mean? Whatever happens to me is best.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yes, and therefore, in even a very difficult situation,
mm-hmm.
one will see Krishna's mercy because one will see how that situation is bringing him closer to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
He will actually see this is, and by living that way and extracting the realizations of one's destiny, one will be experiencing the affection and love of Krishna. And that's one of the items of devotional service. Prabhupada says, expecting the Lord's mercy. And it means what? Patenu kampam susanisha. Whatever is coming, bow my head. And I understand it's for my purification. It's to bring me closer to God. He's merciful. Yes, one lives that way. And one who has that sharanagati, he experiences that, and he gets that saved. I always tell the example of my cousin, who was a chaplain in the military in World War II, and he was a Jewish chaplain. And he was on a battleship, and the battleship was sunk. And him and the other chaplains got everyone else to safety. Even if my cousin lied. Some young guy was freaking out, and he said, I forgot my gloves. And my uncle said, here, take my gloves. You know, I have another pair. And then the guy took the club, and he realized, because they were in the war, the water was freezing, that those gloves saved his life. And then they saw the battleship go down, and they saw the four chaplains. There was a Catholic, a Lutheran, a Dutch Reformed, and a rabbi, my uncle. And they saw them arm in arm singing the Psalms of David. Look at that situation where they were seeing God's mercy. And it's not just an illusion, it is God's mercy. And one who lives his life like that develops that faith. I'm just going to read the rest of the verses so I do complete my thinking. So Uther then says, my dear son, extract the essence of what Sukadeva Goswami has taught you and quickly reveal it to me. Why? There's no time. As if churning the nectar of immortality from the ocean of milk. Nice metaphor. The demigods churn the ocean, the nectar of immortality. It, again, that thing, a farmer takes canes of sugar, extracts a cup of sweet juice, carefully extract the realization of the entire Bhagavad Gita and extract its essence. This is what the real Bhagavad Gita is. The Bhagavad Gita itself is the Nigamakalpatura Galitam Param. It's the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. extract the essence of that. And so Jnani Rishi is telling this story, and he says, and King Pariksit, feeling affection for his mother, answered her respectfully, eager to recount the wonderful narrations he just heard from the Lord. So he was dying, but the taste of bhakti and the desire to explain, even though he was dying, he became eager to actually narrate this game. And I saw this with Prabhupada, and we see that in the video of Prabhupada in his last days. He's lying on the bed, right? And Jayadvaita Swami is holding the mic, and Prabhupada is translating the Bhagavad Gita. And even the fact that Maharaj Pariksit is dying, and he's just so... He's relishing so much Maharaj Pariksit. In Prema Bhakti, there are different stages of love even. And the third stage of the eight stages of Prema is called Rag. And the symptom of Rag is that in the union or association from Krishna, the greatest distress will seem like the greatest happiness. And in separation from Krishna, the greatest happiness will seem like the greatest distress. So what is his Raj Maharaj Pariksit? He's hearing about Krishna. That's not different than Krishna. He's with Krishna. And therefore, his suffering, it seems like it's the greatest pleasure. It's interesting, too, because he gave up hunger and thirst because he was so satisfied. And what makes this point? That the want in our heart, what's really lacking, is the unlimited love, which is the right of the soul in relationship to God. And when that is lacking, we'll try to become complete or fulfill our wants or needs in so many other artificial ways. But we'll never be satisfied until we have that love. Because that's the nature of the soul. So, an example, someone will think, my life is incomplete, it's unhappy unless I get this upgrade in my computer, unless I get this mate, unless I get this car. But it's all this hate, and when that's fulfilled in the heart, then things like eating, and drink, they become very unimportant, like Raghunath Das Goswami. And just a few drops of buttermilk, I'm satisfied. Why? Because there's so much more relish on the platform of the soul than on the platform of the senses or the mind. So when one becomes advanced, and that's filled in the heart with the love of Krishna, then, hey, the time of death, you're thinking of the body and the pains of the body? No, you're thinking of service to Krishna, and he speaks. And yet he tells his mother, mother, at a time like this, one should observe silence. It's a fact. At the end of life, shut off everything and focus the consciousness on Krishna. Therefore, people usually go internal. They don't speak. They just go into samadhi in this way. But you can see a Vaishnava. But your delightful question impels me to speak. Because you're asking about Krishna. Mariyan Asha, Te Prashna, Krita Loka, Itam Napa, Atma Vitam Napa, Pumsam. When Maharaj Pariksit himself, this is coming from him. When they say they're going to, no, Sukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Pariksit asks him, what is the duty of a man who's about to die and what should he not do? He says, Brihanesha, your question alone is the most glorious thing. Brihanesha, Krishna Lokhi Tamnipa, it'll do the best for Atmaditsa, but it's approved by everyone. So this is my critic. This is his Bob. I'm dying. I should observe silence. But your delightful question impels me. I feel forced to speak. I feel forced to serve Krishna, despite any material impediments. And that's the nature of pure bhakti. And the nature of pure bhakti is there's no greater pain than giving it up. He can't give it up. He can't give up his service. And then, so he's telling his mother now, I shall speak by the mercy of my spiritual master, Sriman Badarayani Sukadev. First, let me offer respects to our Lord and Master, Sri Achyutan, who granted the gift of life to you and your son. So this is deep. When we hear this, let's hear his bhakti or his devotion and aspire for that. I'm speaking, why humbly? It's the mercy of my guru. I just heard from him. It's his mercy. And let me offer respects to our Lord and Master, Krishna, who gave me life. And he gave life to you, Mom. Remember when I was in your womb and Ashwatthama put that Brahmastra weapon and Krishna entered into your womb? He saved you and he saved me. And now so much love is coming from his heart because he's remembering Krishna's protection. And what is Krishna's protection? It's his mercy. It's his love for the devotees. He's remembering Krishna's love. His compassion and grace inspired the best of his pure devotees in the great effort to extract the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave you life, and now his compassion and grace has inspired Sukadeva Goswami to extract the nectar of immortality from the Bhagavatam. He not only saved your body, now he's giving you the real life. Because real life does not just mean existing. That's in the Bhagavatam. What is the use of legs if you don't use those legs to go to the temple? It's like the legs on the trunk of a tree. Real life is Krishna. And Krishna means speaking about Krishna. Prabhupada's been preaching his life. I saw that in Prabhupada's last day. He wanted to preach. He wanted to speak about Krishna. And then he says, the greatest sages have approved this resulting work, which is full of confidential truth. Please listen with attention and I faithfully repeat it to you. Now, the next class is going to be... Now, just to make a summary, so you have this story of Jaimini Rishi. Janame Jayant says, now, please tell me the essence of the second edition of the Mahabharata. I want to hear it. So then Jaimini Rishi responds, okay, and he tells the story of the Bhagavatam had just been spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, the Maharaj Pricket, and his mother comes. Now we're into that narration. And now Maharaj Pricket is going to explain to his mother the essence of the Bhagavatam in the form of two stories. And the first story is about Narada Muni searching for the topmost devotee. So we'll begin the story in the next class. Are there any other questions? Okay. I'm hoping I'm getting a format that is suitable for the audience. I do have more confidence that when we get to this now, these stories, they're just reveal so sweetly the essence of bhakti at all the different levels. Would anyone like to say Hare Krishna today? Who's that? Anyone like to say Hare Krishna today? Hare Krishna?
Sorry, what?
Who's that?
This is Yoga.
Hare Krishna? Who's that?
Yogala.
Who is it?
Can you hear me, Maharaj?
Who?
Yogala.
Say your name slowly. Who is it? Can you please say your name again slowly? Who is it?
This is Yogala.
Who? Who's
that? She's saying Yogala.
Yogala?
Yes.
Who's Yogala? Oh, Yogala. Oh, Yogala? Okay, stay on, and we'll discuss about me going to Israel, okay? Just stay on for a second, okay? I just want to see if anybody else wants to say Hare Krishna, okay?
Yeah.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Anastasia.
Anastasia, okay. You also please stay on the line. Somehow I have to speak to one more person about a possible trip I'm taking.
Okay? Yes.
Yeah, so sure. Just stay on the line. But everyone else, I guess we can all end today. Mancha Kalpa, Purujyascha, Ipasindu, Bhebacha, Patikanam Pavanebio, Vaishnavebio, and all that.